Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Today we have a discussion about an event commemorating the June 12th anniversary of last year's massacre at Pulse, the Orlando, Florida gay bar and nightclub. 49 died, 53 were wounded in the deadliest terrorist attack since 9/11. A special one-night event is being held at the Contemporary Art Museum tomorrow evening. It's titled After Orlando. After Orlando is a series of short plays written in response to the Pulse incident. With me in studio to tell us more are Joan Lipkin, the artistic director with That Uppity Theater Company. Christina Rios is artistic director at RS Theatrics. They are part of a collaboration of several organizations which has put the event together. Thank you, ladies, so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Joan, let me start with you. This event is a little bit different in structure and format, isn't it? Tell us about that part of it.
Well, after the massacre, Kara Dodsvich, who is a director and a playwright in New York and has a publishing company called Passport, No Passport, and Blair Baker, there's a lot of people, Blair Baker and Zach Klein, who also have Nobolt production, commissioned writers from all over the world to respond, about 75 of us. And we all donated our work, and we were told that we should write something within a certain time frame, short pieces, anywhere from 3 to 8 minutes. And then these were put on for free. We donated the royalties, and they were put on all over the world in the fall. Podcasts, community centers, classrooms, major theaters. I put it on with the St. Louis Fringe in November, but that was in the fall. And as we approached this anniversary, I felt that it was really important that we revisit this, that we don't sort of lose this in I want to say the 24-hour news cycle, but really, Don, it's it's like the 5-minute news cycle these days, right?
Huh. Yeah. Or even faster than that.
Yeah.
Christina, what is RS Theatrics' involvement in all of this?
Well, we are super excited to partner with Joan and That Uppity Theater Company. I am, of course, a Latina, you know, business person. Mm-hmm. I happen to be, you know, and artistic director. This is something that is important to me on a multitude of levels. But Joan approached me about this, and I think ultimately it's about the main thing that I kind of preach and teach and hope for and pray for all the time is unity. In terms of within the word community, we're in a theater community, but frequently it does not feel like there's much unity. And the more collaboration that we can do, the better. So Joan is absolutely the art in the fire behind all of this. And my job for a lot of it is just kind of like straightening pictures and yelling at actors, which I am exceptional at.
So not true. She's too modest. So not true. I mean, Christina, you're right. Don, I could have directed this myself, but that would have a very and put it into a traditional theater venue, that would have a very specific take. And I think that the more that we all work together, the more we amplify our message, the more we create community. And so Christina brought a lot of directors into this, some of whom I've worked with before, but some of whom I haven't, because we wanted to make something that would be very inclusive. So we will have Christina's directing, Sarah Holt, I am, Fanny Lebby, Kathy Bentley, John Wolbers, Adam Flores, Blake Willoughby. We will have on Friday night probably the largest. You know, you can't go into that. these claimers, but we will have one of the largest and most diverse casts in St. Louis this summer. We'll have it'll be very mixed racially.
We should point out this is not your typical stage production. This is a series of readings, correct?
It is. It is, and I would love to see it staged, but the people who commissioned us want it to be done as a series of readings because they wanted things to happen quickly and the work to get out there. And by doing it as a series of readings, it actually makes it easier to get the involvement of people who are very busy or in demand.
Christine, I also love readings for whatever it's worth. Like when I'm a big believer that everything that we personally ever produce, everything that I read and hopes to produce that could be done in all black at black music stands with black binders, hopefully it is the story that is as compelling, that is the compelling driving piece. And really the fact that you have beautiful people, you know, holding things and moving stuff and well lit is kind of like the icing on this gorgeous cake. And I think there's something so powerful about a reading, about that all that you have is your senses and your imagination. You know, that you don't have to get lost in, you know, does the sink really work, and you know, aren't all those light changes different? You're forced to really listen and invest in the material. And I think that's how you change lives. That's how you change the world.
Who are the readers?
The readers, who are the actors? Well, this is what I love, because some of them are people that I know and some of them are people that Christina knows. We've got Michelle Dillard, Carmen Garcia, John Wolbers, Tyler Cheatham, Don McClendon, Madeline Boyne, Glynis Brooks, Quinn McIntosh, Judy Mann, I mean, Adam Flores. It goes on and on and on. And they're also intergenerational. So we have some people who are young, and we have people who are older. And that's true of our directors, too. We have emerging directors, and we have people who have been doing that work for a long time. And we said to the different directors, would you do one and or two pieces? So that we have many different voices involved with this project.
Single readers for each little short play. I mean, the plays, or the readings are... Well, let me go back. In the after Orlando, the original, there were short plays, 3 minutes to 8 minutes or so.
Yes. Like,
now you're just having excerpts from those.
No.
From those, the whole. It's going to be the whole thing.
No, we're not doing. We're not doing
that
all.
Would be, that would be a very long night.
It would be. We would have to send out for carryout. No, it's we're doing. Although some people have done that at the Finborough in London, did a marathon of all the readings. We're doing, I think, 14 short pieces.
But the complete
yes.
play,
the
rather
complete,
than excerpts of
yes,
them.
The okay. complete play. And what I happen to really love, the short play format, as you know, I have produced a festival of short LGBTQ plays that were 10 minutes. I've done it for 6 years. We've produced almost 50 pieces. You can contain an entire universe inside of 10 minutes. You can even do it inside of 3 minutes, really.
Christina, what kind of variety is there to be? Has there been an After Orlando, the original series of plays, and in what we're going to be seeing tomorrow night?
What kind of variety in terms of what
subject
can we
matter.
Expect?
Yeah.
I think I have just immense respect for playwrights, because I have a difficult time even writing a check. And what these people have done, just the 14 pieces that we're doing, really range in kind of satirical, over the top, you know, obviously sort of uncomfortably hilarious, to actually hilarious, to heavily dramatic, and they're able to encapsulate all of this in such a short period of time. So I think you are going to have something that really, honestly, and I hate when people say this, but I think really appeals to just about everyone. Our whole hope, you know, and collaborating on this, is that we're not doing something for theater people. We're doing something for the community, not just the theater community, but the St. Louis community, in order to honor and remember this act and these people, that it doesn't just get forgotten that easily. And so, I mean, you know, I have a piece that I'm directing is, I think, pretty heavily satirical, and funny, uncomfortably funny. And then there's, you know, one that just makes me weep even just to read, and we have to block that tonight. So I'll be the one with 8 boxes of Kleenex just pointing.
How does one direct a reader?
Oh, easy. Yeah, I think I've been directing my whole life. Uh-huh. You just kind of point and tell people what to do.
Where to put the emphasis on what syllable, that sort of thing.
That's what I say. I always, like, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, what is it, you know, put me out, I'm on fire. You know, it's not all about, you know, pronouns. You know, what is the purpose of the story? If this is the purpose of the story, if the line is, I'm a playwright, but this is no play, I is not the important part. Mm-hmm. Perhaps what you are is the important part. So what is the greater portion of this story? So let's not hit all these sections. Are we making eye contact? If we are, make sure that this part is memorized. If it's not going to be memorized on any level, that's cool. Make sure it's always out so the audience can see you. Make sure that when you're moving, you have a reason. It's really the same way that you direct a regular piece. You don't want to ever be doing anything for no good reason.
So the plays offer multiple perspectives. Just to give you an example, tomorrow night people will hear the story of a mother's loss, waiting to hear from her son, the stress of a cleanup crew who have to handle taking care of over 50 bodies, the PTSD that these people experience. And one of my favorites is a Chick-fil-A employee who opens the store against company policy when the store is usually closed on a Sunday because she says we need to feed first responders and volunteers and people who have given blood. There's a beautiful piece about what it means to be a young gay man who's dancing in a gay bar for the first time. So what these pieces do is they encourage empathy, and these readings keep the lives and the memories of the 49 people present. And I just wanted to say something else to add on to what Christina was saying about the community. We could have done this in a more traditional theater venue. Then we're appealing to theater people. We are so thrilled that we are going to be at the Contemporary Art Museum. They're donating the space. Everybody is donating their time. We're donating our time because we feel that it's a way that we can reach a different audience than either of us or maybe even collectively would typically have.
It's a free performance.
And it's free.
But how do people assure themselves that they're going to be able to get in and get a seat or whatever?
Well,
we thought of that. No, there, you can pre-register. It's totally free.
That's what I thought.
But everyone loves a good head count for chairs.
Okay. Well, this can be done. Can this be done online?
Yes.
Is this all? Okay.
Yes.
We'll have all of that information on our website at stlpublicradio.org so folks can get in on that. And we want to have a reading from you two in just a moment. But before I take a break, what sort of response, Joan, have you had through this international presentation of After Orlando, first time around?
Well, you know, I actually have a piece in the collection, mm-hmm. and it's been very moving for me to see the places. I got to see it in New York, and to know that it's traveling and that it's being done in a number of places. I think it's really important. It's part of a new trend that we call rapid response, where writers are able to respond to events, significant things that are happening in our community. So there was another rapid response project with which we were involved called Every 28 Hours, which was looking at violence against people of color, specifically in this region, but also around the country. So there's been a lot of response. As I said, it's been performed in over 75 theaters since it was released within like a 2-month period. And that has included internationally.
And audience response has been?
Tremendous. Mm-hmm. Just tremendous. When we did it last November and we had a post-show conversation because we felt that it was important for people to share how they were feeling, there actually were some people who were from Orlando who happened to be in the audience. And I didn't know that initially. It took them a while in the conversation to get around to sharing that. And then they said, this is so important. It makes me feel like our lives are still being remembered. Mm. And it's interesting. I went to the memorial at the Transgender Memorial Garden on Monday night. A year ago, right after the massacre, 2,000 people in St. Louis marched. On Monday night, we had a really beautiful ceremony. Mm. We released biodegradable white lanterns out into the hemisphere, and we read the names, and a song was sung, but we didn't have 2,000 people. And the value of theater in a culture of forgetting is that theater helps us to both distill and to remember and to hear many stories.
Yeah. Let me take a break now. We'll come back and we'll have you to read some of what folks will be hearing tomorrow night. We're talking about the presentation After Orlando, which is going to be at 7:30 tomorrow night at the Contemporary Art Museum. And what it is commemorating the violent act in Orlando, Florida, the Pulse nightclub, just about a year ago, June 12th. Our guests are Joan Lipkin, Artistic Director of That Uppity Theater Company, and Christina Rios, Artistic Director at RS Theatrics. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Joan Lipkin and Christina Rios. And we want to have some readings from you two with regard to the program we're talking about After Orlando. The readings will be made tomorrow night at the Contemporary Art Museum at 7:30. I'm handed something here. Okay. Joan, let's set up what we're going to be hearing.
Sure. So I think what we'll read for you today is a piece called Dance On in Honor of the 49, written by a British playwright named Ian Rowland. And this is a piece for two people, and Christina and I are going to do it together now.
Okay. Well, ready, set, go.
I am a playwright, but this is no play.
Stanley Almodovar III.
I won't ask to be released by you at the end. I mean, I'm no Prospero. To be released is to be absolved, to forget. I can't forget. How dare I forget?
Amanda Alvear, Oscar A. Aracena Montero.
No, no, never. You know, when I first heard the news, saw your pictures, the diagrams of where you'd all been killed in that club corner of Cayley Street and South Orange Avenue. I thought of my own clubbing days.
Rodolfo Ayala Ayala, Antonio Devon Brown.
Dark walls, bright light. I haven't been in a club for years. My clubbing time was the time of Sylvester. He made us all feel mighty real. The thrum, the throb, the scent of sweat and amyl nitrate, the pulsing beats of those times, so much joy. And I imagined you enjoying as much as I used to enjoy in that moment before.
Daryl Roman Burt II, Angel El Candelario Padro.
Yeah. When I first heard the news, I saw you all in my mind's eye dancing in a moment of ecstasy, of youth, in love, full of promise. Were you a dervish on the dance floor?
Juan Chavez Martinez.
Were you? And then I thought of Manhattan, a world away from Orlando, but the world is small. Once walking down Broadway. Did you ever walk down Broadway?
Luis Daniel Conde.
Did you?
It really gives a human depth to the whole thing, doesn't it? I mean, it really makes it alive. People have forgotten, I suspect, some of the specifics of this incident, particularly that it was the worst terrorist incident in this country since 9/11.
Yes.
And a year has passed, and I just wonder, if it weren't for things like what you're doing, how long people would remember an incident like this.
Yes. I wish there wasn't a reason to forget.
Yeah.
I wish it didn't.
Yeah.
I seriously, you know, I believe in the goodness and the humanity of people. And I genuinely believe that the reason that things like this do get forgotten is not because it's not important, but because there's so much that is so similar that happens between each anniversary.
Exactly.
How do you, after a while, it's almost like, how do you focus
on
what? And that's what I love about this piece so much, is that it's really easy to imagine. Unfortunately, when we hear that 17 people died in a fire, when we hear that 49 people died in a nightclub, but it's tragic, but it's these imaginary people that we never knew, that we'll never know. But once you put a name to it, it's impossible.
That's the key.
To not now imagine what kind of lives they had and who loved them and who still does.
That's definitely the key. Just saying the names keeps them alive in it to a certain degree. Joan, I have a quote here from you in which you say that these plays are the crucial gateway to empathy.
Yes.
How?
Because I think that when we – and actually somebody said this at a reading in November. They said, you know, I watched this on television, but I was watching it through a screen. Mm-hmm. And now when I see people reading the names or telling the story of this mother who's waiting for her son to come home, because we see a real human being in front of us, it brings it – you know, it brings it home in a very different kind of way. And this is why I am in love with live performance, because I think it creates a kind of exchange between an audience and a performer that is not replicated in any other art form.
We only have a couple of minutes left. Time, I'm sure, to do one more reading and give folks a sense of what they'll be hearing and seeing tomorrow night.
Okay.
Are you ready to rumble?
We are. And, you know, this piece, again, they're all beautiful, in my opinion. But this piece is... I think it's special because it's kind of a takeoff on Thornton Wilder's Our Town. Mm-hmm. And it was written by David Lee, who is an Orlando-based playwright. So this is Christine. This is our first time reading it out loud together. Hello, audience.
And also, it should probably bears repeating that we're not actually reading these sections of these. These will be done by professional actors.
Well, you could. The first one is any indication you could.
Oh, thank you.
Let's go. We've got a little under 3 minutes left.
Okay. It's Saturday morning, June 11th. The name of the town is Orlando. Latitude 28 degrees north. Longitude 81 degrees west.
The sky is beginning to reveal some streaks of light in a rainbow over the east. I should show you how the town is laid out.
Oh, down there is Colonial Drive. It intersects Orange Avenue, and just over there. Oh, down there is the East-West Expressway, and just over there, the interstate. They're rebuilding most of it. Down there is Church Street.
The train tracks run right through it. Over there is the Methodist Church, and on this side, the Presbyterian. And just down the way there, the Baptist Church, and the Catholic Church is just beyond there.
And then we skip. We're going to just sort of skip ahead a little. Look up. That rainbow is pretty bright now. It's almost unbelievably vivid. It never ceases to amaze me how massive they tend to be here in O-Town. Scientists haven't quite figured out how just yet, but they seem to think that there's nothing much up there in the sky, just dust and fire, and I don't know how I feel about that. Rainbows like that make me feel not want to believe that kind of thinking.
In the words of Thornton Wilder, I think that Earth might be too vast and complicated for anybody to understand it. I wonder if any human being on the planet ever realizes what life is while they live it, every single second.
So there, once again, a sense of the kind of thing that people will be hearing tomorrow night starting at 7:30 at the Contemporary Art Museum. Has After Orlando ever played in Orlando?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yeah. It's absolutely huge there. They had and everybody's life has been impacted in Orlando. What happened in Orlando actually affected public and federal policy. Mm-hmm. So now there are policies about how teachers should learn how to handle trauma in case there's a shooting. The two hospitals that took care of people did not charge. There's talk of turning the Pulse into a museum memorial. It's very big for the people who are in Orlando. But mm-hmm. it's big for a lot of us, for us who care about everyone, but who also are interested in looking at this intersection of homophobia and racism and gun violence.
We'll have to leave it at that. Joan Lipkin, thank you so much for being with us. Joan's with that Uppity Theater Company, of course. Christina Rios is Artistic Director at Aris Theatrics, telling us about After Orlando. Thank you both so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Coming up, our soundbite segment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.